Good evening, my friends. This is wonderful Saturday. Another time when we get an opportunity to touch one another. We chat to you, hopefully you chat to us, and hopefully my friend over here will be joining us and chatting with us.
Who's that?
Oh.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Good evening, Richard. Good evening, everyone. I hope all of you are going to be as excited as I am about our guests tonight. And if you get our emails, you know that tonight, beloved Mary Magdalene is standing in the wings, ready to chat with you. And for those of you who might be new to our procedure, Richard chats to those on the other side. We've already contacted our beautiful guest, and she's willing to come with a message for all of you. And you can connect to her energies also. And how you do this is to imagine what she might look like. See it in your third eye, the top of your forehead, and call her name, and you will be close to her. So, dear Richard, what does Mary Magdalene feel like energetically?
Beautiful would be a single word that I would use. Just great love, but compassion is perhaps the overwhelming sense. This beautiful, compassionate love married with wisdom. I experience her energy fairly centralized, but also diffuse, you might say, spread broadly, but very much centered on love, a little left to center, but that overwhelming sense of compassion. I can't say why, but I feel that compassion, as I say, a little left of center. It is so clearly that aspect of love that we call compassion. It's truly beautiful, this marriage of powerful, compassionate love and this almost dancing wisdom. It's beautiful.
Oh, so wonderful. Hopefully those who are listening to your words feel connected to it and feel her energies also. And so, Richard, I know that this dear one has a message for our listeners. And what does she wish to say to them?
My dear friends, it is a wonderful opportunity to participate in this direct way. As those of you who have listened to these calls for an extended period will know, I have come forth in what you might consider a cameo role in the past. And so it is with pleasure that I come forth, you might say, fully fledged. And I take this opportunity to wish all of you well, because I know many of you are experiencing a challenging journey. You continue to struggle in those powerful negative energies, negative forces that remain very active upon your planet. And I know many of you have been disillusioned by the fact that the changes have not unfolded as you had expected. And I will simply reinforce the words that have been given to you by others, and that is, the picture was painted as it was to, you might say, fool or foil those of the dark, thinking that if they interfered with the seemingly necessary preparations before the solstice, that they would indeed prevent the unfolding of all that was intended with this transition. But they ultimately did not understand the key piece that was required. And that, my friends, came into place. And that was a fundamental energetic shift. And that energetic shift opened a door to a coming forth of a new consciousness, which many of the cherubim have been working very diligently to build and to strengthen, which indeed was part of their mission. In a way, it was part of the mission of all of the cherubim to support this transition, to support the preparation and this strengthening, this building of this new consciousness that you might say forms the platform for the unfolding of the changes that were foretold. And I have watched all of this with mixed feelings, you might say, because in a sense I understand the inevitable unfolding of all of this. And as you, at least most of you, will understand, my lifetime was very much about the preparations for this time. And so in a sense I see the unfolding from a broader perspective than you can. And so I witness also your suffering, your despair in some cases, your disillusionment. And so that is why I have taken this opportunity to share these words with you, to have you understand that indeed all is unfolding. There is work that is continuing in many ways and on many levels to ensure that all of this unfolds. And indeed, it is unfolding. And even though those of us from beyond your dimension are playing a role in assisting, ultimately, the driving forces for this must come from humanity in some form. And that is why all of you, including Richard and Carolyn, and including those of you that are incarnated cherubim in particular, are there at this time to undertake the work that is necessary, that needs to be undertaken by individuals, by souls embodied in human form upon the planet. It is essential that, in a sense, humanity undertakes its own, you might say, salvation. And that indeed is what is happening because of the work that all of you in your own ways are doing. And so I encourage all of you and I thank all of you for the work that you have already done and continue to do as all of this unfolds. And so this is where I wished to start my message. And I know that many of you feel a connection with me in this time, but indeed many of you feel a connection with me as I walked the planet, both because in many cases you were present in that time, but also because on a level you understand the work that Yeshua and I undertook. Again, in that time with the support of so many of the cherubim. Because, as many of you understand, the cherubim that incarnate have come forth in support of every aspect of Marietta as it has come forth and incarnated on the planet. And the journey as Yeshua was no exception to that. As many of you understand, the majority of the Essenes were incarnated cherubim. And so many of you were Essenes in that lifetime, as indeed many of you already understand. And so I wish to acknowledge the connection that you feel in that regard, and indeed that I feel with all of you, because we have interacted, we have worked on so many levels in so many ways over the millennia. And I will say to you that that lifetime that I shared with Yeshua was in many ways such a wondrous, joyful experience, an expression of all that it meant to be a woman living in that time with a man who respected a woman. And so in that manner, we shed great love and great respect, both as human beings, but also as spiritual beings that had awakened their skills and used their skills together as we did. Because although your history for the most part reports that Yeshua was responsible for the healing work and so on, in truth it was a joint exercise between the two of us, which he readily acknowledged. It is not something that he would claim to be otherwise. Indeed, he was very much of that nature. You might say he was a man who was very much in touch with his feminine side. And so in that way, it was a very joyful, precious life. And yet in others, it was such a despairing life because Yeshua passed through crucifixion. And so the time leading up to that and beyond it was a difficult time. And indeed, as most of you know, we both made our way to France after the crucifixion and lived there for some time before Yeshua finally succumbed to his wounds, because there were beings of the dark that interfered with his healing and prevented him from being able to fully recover despite the healing skills that he and I and many of the other Essenes had. The interference was such that he crossed over prematurely as a result of those wounds. And so being widowed in that way was a sad experience, and I spent those years in France, and the history does record some of my time in France, and there is a grotto which is acknowledged in France where I did indeed spend quite a bit of time in what you might consider to be mourning. And so it was a bittersweet lifetime. It was also bittersweet because, as you know, we had three children together, and yet because of the roles that those children, or in particular their bloodline, played in what is unfolding in your time, it was necessary for me to release two of my children to others to take care of, one to my father and one to Yeshua's relatives in India. And so this was difficult for me to do because I, of course, loved my children very dearly. And so I have bittersweet memories, as I say, of that lifetime. And I thank the two that are holding this radio show for the work that they have done at previous times to clear that pain from me that I was continuing to hold. And because of the skills that they have, they were able to assist me with the release of that pain, as indeed they have done with other souls that have crossed over, still carrying pain from a particular lifetime. And so, my friends, this is all I wished to say to you as part of my message, other than to again reinforce that all that was planned is indeed unfolding. Do not be concerned, do not become disillusioned, nor I encourage you not to listen to all the messages saying that it has all happened, really, that we just haven't understood that it has happened, because these messages are not accurate either. It is unfolding, dear ones. Trust your own inner guidance, your own sense of truth. Do not look for the messages from others. Perhaps if you need to look elsewhere, look at the material which has been coming forth from the readings that these two have been bringing forth, the soul origin and history readings, the journeys that the cherubim, because they are all readings for cherubim that have come forth, as you may have gathered. Check this information and see the unfolding over time of the story of life on earth, and in particular, the reasons that the various individuals are present in this time. these stories are accurate. They give you pointers to what is coming forth. So trust these signs and ultimately go within, as we taught in that time. Go within and connect with your own truth. Heal yourselves if you have not yet completed that work, and be able to connect cleanly and directly within, so that you can experience these truths within yourself. And so it is.
Thank you so much, dear one. We have listeners on the telephone line waiting to speak to you, and we will get to them. There are a few questions I would like to know, if you would be kind enough to tell us. It has come to my attention that you and Yeshua were born on the same day. And I'm sure there's a reason for it, perhaps astrologically, or maybe other reasons. Can you give us some input as to why this was so?
It is indeed true that we were born on the same day, and as you suggest, it was for astrological reasons. 2,000 years ago was a time when the energies were, you might say, very dense still upon the planet. They are much lighter, you might say. A higher vibration is currently present than was so then, and so to bring forth the kind of skills and abilities that were required in that lifetime required us to, you might say, get all the ducks lined up. We both came forth with souls that carried many soul particles from our monads to ensure that we would be able to activate our skills. But also we chose to be born on a day which was very auspicious in the sense of supporting the awakening and unfolding of all of those skills and the power that we both carried. All of this was very strongly supported by the energies of that day, and it was quite a narrow window, as indeed most of these key alignments are, that allow these key astrological support energies to be present and utilized. Most, if not all of you listening to this call, either directly or on the recording, have chosen the day upon which you were born because it has supported your mission. Make no mistake about it. Disregard any of the circumstances that may have unfolded that seemed to be responsible for you being born on a particular day. Trust me when I say you have all, perhaps with the exception of one or two at most, have chosen the day upon which you were born because of the power astrologically that it had for what you came forth in this lifetime to achieve. It is one of those elements that has been buried by the nature of life as it is currently being lived. Astrology is seen as a fringe dweller, you might say, when really the gifts that it carries are truly extraordinary. And indeed, in my time, there was really no distinction between astrology and astronomy. Whereas in your time, astronomy is seen as a science and astrology is seen as some short step from witchcraft. And this is unfortunate because the truly are deeply interwoven. And so that is perhaps a rather long answer to your question.
Thank you so much. We certainly are aware of the great love between the two of you. And if you would be kind enough to give us some idea as to how this relationship developed. In other words, how did you grow up together? How did you become aware of one another? And when did you realize that you loved Yeshua the way you do?
We knew each other from a very young age. As I believe you understand, my mother that you know of, sorry, Yeshua's mother that you know of as Mother Mary, and my father, who was Joseph of Arimathea, were brother and sister, or more accurately, half-brother and half-sister, because they had different fathers. But indeed, we were close, and most of you who have done any studying of history will know that in that time, my father, Joseph, had great wealth, perhaps was the most wealthy man in the world at that time. And he had funded Yeshua's studies. In fact, he was responsible for taking him to Britain to study with the Druids, and he funded and resourced the trip that Yeshua made to India, which involved a number of people and camels and equipment and so on. And the trip lasted some years, and so it was quite a project. And so there was a close connection between our families from a young age. And given who our parents were, they understood before we came who we were and what we were coming to do. And so although they did not force us together, there was this understanding within our families as to who we were. And so we knew each other from a very young age and felt this connection as children playing together. And so above all else, we were great friends. We walked different paths in some senses. And what I mean by that is, I mentioned Yeshua spent some time in Britain with the Druids and then spent some 7 or so years in India, which was a long time. And I did not participate in either of those trips. And so we had our own separate paths, you might say, that we walked as young people growing up. And yet there was always that closeness, that friendship, that kinship, that understanding. And so that understanding was always there. But neither of us perhaps foresaw the love that grew between us as we grew up, as we became man and woman, as we matured, that thread, that love as human beings for each other and the possibilities that that opened up was something that in a way came as a surprise upon both of us. And so truly that journey was a joyful unfolding with perhaps some surprises that we might have expected, but did not. And so, in simple terms, we knew each other for really our entire lives that we were on the planet together.
Thank you so much. I'm kind of a romanticist myself, and I was interested in that, and I'm sure people listening are interested in that also. We have other questions, but we're going to take a question from Tina, who is on line 3. Welcome, Tina.
Hello. Excuse me. I have a bit of a head cold. Well, wow, what an honor to talk to all of you. I have a question for Mary. It's my understanding that she studied for some time in the mystery schools in Egypt. And I was just curious if I had any lifetimes with Mary in studying with her in Egypt in the mystery schools at that time.
Richard, did you hear the question?
Yes. So, Tina, to be specific, are you asking if you were present in the lifetime when Mary Magdalene was present upon the planet? Is that what you specifically asking?
Because, well, if I studied with her at all in Egypt at the time she was there studying in the mystery schools.
Okay. I I spent quite a deal of time in Egypt, as you might understand, and indeed Yeshua also passed through the temples along the Nile. Though his studies preceded mine in a sense because he spent some time in Egypt as a young boy, and when he returned from India, he passed through the initiation temples down the Nile relatively quickly, given the skills and abilities that he'd already acquired and awakened. So I traveled that path, as you understand, and again, my transition down that path was relatively rapid, again, because of the skills and abilities that I had acquired prior to. And so your question is, or your second question is, were you present with me at that time? And I will say that you did study in Egypt, but we did not share time together in the time that I was in Egypt. These times were separated. But I will say that we did know each other in that lifetime because you were certainly present, or at least your monad had sent forth a finger of consciousness in that time. And so we were acquainted, although not close, you might say, in that lifetime.
Well, hope
okay,
this
well,
answers
thank you
your
very
question,
much.
Tina. You're welcome, dear.
Thank you.
Jennifer,
I
you're welcome.
It.
I know. Jennifer is on line two. Welcome, Jennifer.
Richard and Carolyn and Mary Magdalene, thank you all for everything. And I just would like to ask Mary Magdalene something about the Magdalene template. If she could explain what it is, if I have some connection to it, and I will listen for the answer.
Thank you.
If I could ask for my understanding, Jennifer, what do you understand the Magdalene template to be?
I just heard about it.
Okay. There has been talk. Indeed, there have been books written which talk about a group of individuals who carried what you might call the Magdalene template. And I will say to you that this does not carry truth.
Ah.
There are threads, if one goes back far enough, that have been taken and distorted. And the threads I refer to are the traditions, if you will, that my mother participated in and introduced me to. You may or may not be aware that my mother was known as Mary of Magdala, and her father was that great magi known as Balthazar, who in that time was the king of Syria. And so my mother carried that name because there was a school, if you will, in Magdala that taught great spiritual traditions. And in a sense, she passed some of those on to me. And that is really how I came to get my name. And so there were traditions, if you will, within that school. But this has nothing to do with what has been referred to as the Magdalene template. This has no reality in the truth of things.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Jennifer. And thank you, Mary Magdalene, for giving us that information. You mentioned earlier during your message that you worked along with Yeshua with healing. Can you give us some insight as to how the two of you worked together?
As you perhaps understand, healing in the way that Yeshua and I healed involves a great deal of energy. Firstly, there was, you might say, a communing, a consulting with the soul of the individual to understand its, you might say, karmic path, and to understand a little about why the illness was present. Because, as you may understand, all illness and disease, as it gets expressed, has some karmic basis, whether that be because there is something that needs to be learned, or whether indeed it is because the soul in this particular lifetime has chosen a particular health trajectory to trigger some learning, or to perhaps inject some understanding or experience into the grid system. So these things need to be understood, because if it is the path of the soul to undertake further learning for the individual, if you will, as a result of that illness, then it is not appropriate to undertake the healing of the individual. Because you might say they are not ready, they are not in a place for healing to come forth. And there were many individuals where we did not undertake the healing for these reasons. If the individual was in a place where healing was appropriate, then Yeshua and I would work together energetically to bring forth the energies, if you will, from the center of the cosmos, the healing energies. You might say, in a sense, I held the space for the most part where we were working together on key situations. I held the space, and he was the public face conducting the healing. But we always worked together energetically. And as some of you are aware, we learnt the skill, and we indeed sought to teach it to others, and some did understand this, the power and the value and the importance of building up energy within the body to then transmit this energy to the individual for healing purposes. And so when we were conducting, for example, public healings where there were a number of people present that were coming to be healed, then we would build these energies up together beforehand. And if you like, we had this reservoir of energy already in place, which we continued to add to as we went about the healing work. And so there was this powerful energetic work being conducted in the background. And part of the training, the initiation, if you will, that we had both undergone was to understand, firstly, how to build these energies, and secondly, how to hold them within our physical bodies, and then to release them to the individual in the manner that brought forth the required healing. And there were other times when we were working within a group of people, you might say, where we were healing independently. And even though we might be healing independently, there was still this joint building up, this joint filling, if you will, of this energy reservoir that we both built up and worked with, that was in place, that supported both of us in the work as we went about it. And so I hope this gives you a little better sense of how this was done.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And as a thought, how would one build this energy up in their body? Would they do it through the breath?
The breath is the tool to use. though in your time it is less of a requirement than it was in ours. You have the ability to, with practice, flow great energy into the body and simply flow it out again. And in a sense, those who have practiced this skill of using the breath to build up energy can almost instantly fill their bodies with powerful healing energies that took time, you might say, to do in our time. And so, yes, the breath was exactly what you would use to focus upon breathing the energies in through the crown chakra and the third eye in particular. Though in focusing in that way, inevitably energies also flowed in through the solar plexus. And really the key place to build up those energies was in the solar plexus, but also in the upper part of the body. In the head can carry a great deal of these energies. And so it was a matter of intending to breathe the energies into the body and intending that they remain in the body as you breathe out. And so it's almost like blowing up a car tire, pumping the energy in and setting a valve of intention that the energies remain in the body. The air remains in the tire, you might say, so that it can then be released for healing purposes when it is required.
Thank you. That's very exciting. Now, as you were doing this, did you work with color also?
We did use color, though it is not an essential element. Again, as you understand it, there are particular colors associated with healing, green being one, but also more powerful spiritual healing involves a very rich, almost iridescent blue. And so because of the skills that we had, our focus was more working and focusing on that blue of high-level spiritual healing, you might say. This really is a refinement, however. It's not an essential element of working with healing energies today. As I say, these things are much easier to do in your time than they were in ours.
Thank you so much. Now, do dolphins, for instance, assist in some manner with healing as far as humanity is concerned?
The dolphins and some whales have carried key energies for humanity since the fall in Atlantis. You might say they have acted as humanity's guardian in a way, because there were key energies that needed to be held on the planet, but which humanity was no longer able to hold as a result of the fall. And so the dolphins and some of the whales carry these energies, and they do it consciously. They understand this. They understand their relationship with humanity very well. And you see this expressed at times. Indeed, the intelligence and understanding and wisdom within the animal species in general is very readily expressed and visible when the opportunity is there for the animals to move past their fear of humanity, because that fear has grown as a result of humanity's seemingly complete disregard for other species upon the planet. But once that is overcome for one reason or another, that is displayed, and it has been documented in many cases, not just with the dolphins, but with whales, with stingrays and manta rays and other sea life in particular. But there is this very specific role that the dolphins and the whales have performed. And you might consider it to be healing in the sense that they carry those core energies on behalf of humanity. And they indeed have begun to transfer those energies back to at least some of humanity as the transition begins to gather momentum upon the planet. And as humanity becomes more aware of that connection with the dolphins and the whales, then you might consider camaraderie that existed in the past between these beautiful animals and humanity will emerge once more. Indeed, you do see, as I say, occasional evidence of this, where the animals move beyond their fear of humanity and simply allow themselves to express their love and joy in being in the company of human beings.
Thank you so much. That's very much appreciated. Luzanne is online too. Welcome, Luzanne.
Good evening. Thank you so much to all of you and Mary Magdalene for coming forth and giving us information. It's very much connecting all the dots, so to speak, for me, of some of the things that she has spoken of. I have a question. Actually, it's a two-part question. I'd like to see if I was, in fact, part of her life and Yeshua's life as on the scene and part of the extended family there. And I'd also like to find out if my daughter was with her in France.
Thank you, Luzanne.
You were indeed an Essene in that time, and you, dear one, are indeed one of the cherubim that incarnates at these key times. And so I encourage you to email Richard with your details to ensure that he connects you with those understandings. In regard to your daughter, he was indeed also part of the cherubim community, the Essene community, but she was not in France when I was in France. She was indeed present as part of the community in what you would call the Middle East, and she remained in that area.
Thank you, Luzanne, for your questions, and
thank you,
Mary Magdalene, for your answer. Roger is on line 3. Welcome, Roger.
Hi, Carolyn, Richard, and Mary. I'm really curious as to what your kids did. I know they stood up and they went to various parts of the world, but what did they actually do? And how could anyone kind of, I know it's difficult to find any trace of them, but perhaps you could give us some more info on it.
My dear Roger, your question comes from a place of wanting to look at the historical records and to attach some kind of greatness or importance to the journeys that they might have walked upon the planet. And they all lived fulfilling lives, but their lives primarily are not strongly in your records, although there are traces of them. Rather more, the key thing to acknowledge is the role that they played in bringing forth the correction to the human DNA. That was their prime purpose, their prime roles, and they did understand this. And indeed, they understood that those that they bore children with were individuals who helped to reinforce those corrections to the bloodline. So this, above all else, was the role that Yeshua's and my children performed in their lives.
Thank you for your question, and Mary Magdalene, thank you for your answer. Rick is on line 2. Welcome, Rick.
Yes, Carolyn. Good evening. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening.
I have a question about the Holy Grail. I have heard different stories about what the Holy Grail is. as far as being Yeshua's cup at the Last Supper. And I've heard other stories. There's been movies made about the Holy Grail. And I'd like to know from Mary Magdalene's perspective, her take on what the Holy Grail really is.
Thank you for your question. I think a lot of other people would like that also. Richard?
It is fascinating how a term, you might say, carries a life all its own. And this is an example of this. And in a sense, it is a reflection of the power of what it refers to. And so, in a way, all of the things that people have attached to it have some truth, because by definition, that is so. People have attached significance to the cup that was used at what is termed the Last Supper. And that certainly was a treasured relic for a number of reasons. But really, ultimately, that in my view is not the Holy Grail. The true Holy Grail is the, you might consider, spiritual journey, energetic journey that the human being is capable of, that has long been forgotten for the most part, and that is the ability to use the kundalini energies to travel the cosmos and to find any information that they might desire. And the most exquisite manner in which to do this is in relationship with the one that you love, to use the raising of kundalini, which is the same energy that is expressed in sexual orgasm. It is the same energy which, if channeled in the right manner, travels up the spine and out through the crown chakra. And with practice, you can sense this, experience this energy in the other person. These two can be coordinated, and when you use it in this way, truly you can travel to many dimensions and bring back information, knowledge, and understanding using this process. And if you visit the IamYeshuaReturned.com website, the image that you will see there, the painting, indeed is intended to reflect this truth. It was a truth which was understood by Yeshua and I, and practiced by us. And indeed, some of you understand the importance of triangles and the power that is created by them. And indeed, there were two other couples that came forth in similar times to, in a similar time to Yeshua and I, not necessarily exactly overlapped in time, but quite close in time, who also understood this and practiced it. And so by creating this triangle within the human experience, it placed this powerful process in the grid system for humanity to more readily reawaken in your time as events unfold. And that, my dear friend, is, in my view, what the Holy Grail truly is. And so you can understand why this term has carried power within the human psyche, because, in a sense, on a level, everyone understands this. They just don't remember. And so perhaps my words in answer to your question will help to refresh this in the consciousness of humanity.
Thank you for your question, as it is a most important question, and we appreciate you bringing it forth. And thank you, Mary Magdalene, for supplying that beautiful answer. Rebecca is on line one. Welcome, Rebecca.
Good evening, Carolyn and Richard. Thank you so much for doing this for us. I have a question for Mary Magdalene. I wonder what our connection is during the life of Yeshua and perhaps in other lifetimes.
Shh. Dear one, it is my intention to specifically focus on my lifetime when I was present as Mary Magdalene, because to do otherwise becomes very complex for many reasons that are beyond the scope of this radio show. And so, to answer your question in that context, were you present in that lifetime when Yeshua and I were on the planet? And you were indeed present. You were indeed an Essene. And you are indeed one of those incarnated cherubim that have come forth many times to support this key work, and it is why you are here in this time.
Thank you for your question, Rebecca, and thank you, Mary Magdalene. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. This story that you have brought forth is so beautiful. I wanted to, if you could, expand a little bit on the last answer that you gave us with regards to traveling the cosmos and getting information during a sacred relationship. Can you perhaps give us an example of what an individual might bring back when they traveled the cosmos together?
Perhaps the simplest example would be the opportunity to connect with either of the monads of the two individuals for explanation purposes. In case the listener to this does not understand what the monad is, the monad is the totality of the soul of the individual as it was originally created by all there is. And the incarnated soul, the incarnated human being, is but a very few particles of that monad. And so it is using this process relatively easy to connect with the monad of either of the individuals, and I would suggest doing this one at a time. And in so doing, gain access to all of the extraordinary wisdom of that monad, which I might say in every case is truly quite extraordinary. It is unimaginable for a human being to begin to comprehend the wisdom of a monad, because it has existed for so long in your terms and has sent fingers of consciousness forth in so many experiences, and it also interacts with other monads. And so the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that is available from that soul monad is truly extraordinary. Now, in the consciousness as it exists and has existed upon the planet since the fall in Atlantis, the day-to-day connection with the monad and access to that wisdom is, for all intents and purposes, shut down. And this will change as events unfold upon your planet. Those connections will be reopened. But for now, this is a way to gain access to that wisdom. So this is an example that is readily available and is perhaps a good place for individuals to start if they wish to experiment with this.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. And an hour passes by so quickly. And we must say goodbye for now. And Richard, thank you for the beautiful work that you do, the energy that you expand. We appreciate it so very much. And it is time for us to say goodbye to our beautiful friends until next week.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Mary Magdalene. I'm going to sit in these energies for a while.
Goodbye, everyone. Until we meet again and touch one another in beauty and grace.